Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are you all doing this morning? Well, praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we are happy to have you all here worshiping with us here in the sanctuary, and for those that are downstairs and those that are at home watching, we are just thrilled to have you with us today. Just a couple announcements. Today, directly after this service, we are going to have our annual Safe Church meeting downstairs in the fellowship room. So please, this is open to everybody. You don't just have to be a child or youth care worker. This is open to the whole church, so come on downstairs and join us. The New Beginnings, that is due back today. And they are being put in the Banquet of Blessing room. So if you have things for New Beginnings, please bring them back. We got everybody, so we covered everybody. So we had 50 items that we had. So thank you all for your generous donations. And it looks like Women's Ministry is having a book club in September. So that is going to be at Morton's Pond at 6 o'clock on the 14th. And everyone's invited to come, and I know Lisa will tell you, even if you didn't read the book, please come. All right, so let's join together in worship and praise the Lord.
Morning, everybody. Brother Nick and Brother Gary are up working on their suntan, so what you got today is Fire of Angels and One Poor Sinner. But I got to tell you, I've had a particularly rough week, man. I needed to get here.
Love you, man. God bless you.
Resting on that, so help me worship a little here.
Thank you. worship in unison, please. We do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts. He gives us light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And join in our next song.
Hallelujah, our Lord God Almighty.
Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. You are worthy of all of our praises. You are the true God, the one and only, the Lord God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that sent His Son so that we may have a way to be reconciled to You, our Heavenly Father. We come before You now, and we bow down before Your throne because of who You are. For You are worthy of all of our praise. You are worthy of all of our honor, and You are worthy of all of the glory. For You alone, Lord, You made the heavens and the earth. You hold the world in this hand, and You are our mighty fortress, the one whom we put our trust in, the one who will turn all for good, the one that has redeemed us and loved us, has marked us and sealed us, and called us Your own. We, Your beloved children, bow down before You and cry, Holy, holy, holy. Let us join together in the prayer that our Savior taught us to worship our holy God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Reading is from Acts chapter 16. Okay, verses 16 through 32, and it's on page 900 in the pew Bible. And this is with Paul, Silas, and Luke as they're in One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in the attack in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, the jailer put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. Now, over to Revelation chapter 3, 7 through 13. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, "These are the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Look, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but are lying, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word of patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. If you conquer, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. You will never go out of it. I will write on you the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, that comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches." This is the word of the Lord.
I didn't want to walk up behind her and go boo. I love my sister. Let's pray, Lord. Oh, Lord, how we thank you for our church, for the people, the members of your body. We are to be one in unity in the body of Christ. Lord, show us exactly what that means. For each person that you have called to yourself. Lord, I pray for those still suffering. We lift up Liz. She's making preparations for her daughter's funeral. That would be Donna Montembo. And, oh, Lord, just the aches and pains that the families go through, Lord, just keep them all lifted up. And others, even as they go through sickness and trials, and oh, there's so much going on in this world. Some are doing so well. We can see Gary is improving by the moment, and he's doing quite well, getting ready to just get on it. So we give you thanks and we give you praise for those who are walking through it and coming out the other side. Lord, we lift up churches that are in areas that are on fire. We can't just pray for California. We can't just pray for Colorado. The whole West Coast is on fire. Lord, have mercy for all these people and grace for them to be safe in this storm of whatever is going on out there. It's just horrific how many people are involved, how many people are being moved to safety. And it doesn't look like there's a safe place anywhere. So, Lord, we just lift up each and every one to be held up in prayer for safe travel and safe escape from the burning blazes on the whole western coastside. And Lord, just for us, each one individually, as we come to know you better, first through your word and what your heart is spoken to our heart, to know that you are moving among us, and there is a reason why, that your kingdom will come to its fruition. You are the victor in all of this. We may not know how or see the end of it yet, but you are moving in its midst. We give you thanks and praise for that, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, kids, come on up. Who's going to make it first?
Me.
How are you all doing today?
Good.
So you guys have probably heard us talk a lot about, well, this phrase that we say, when God opens a door. What do you think that means? When God opens a door. Okay. Bigger kids, what do you think it means when God opens a door? Somebody shout it out.
Opportunity.
He gives us opportunities. And we heard that talking about today when Miss Janie read from Revelation about the Church of Philadelphia. But Pastor Tim's going to talk about that later. So I actually want to talk about the scriptures we read in Acts with Paul and Silas. Now, it looked like a pretty hopeless situation. They're bound up in chains. They're in the middle of the jail, which is like the worst part of the jail to be in. And they're singing and they're praising the Lord, even when it doesn't look so great, and they're staying really close to Jesus. But it really looks like there is no way out. How are we going to get out? But then God comes and he opens a door. Literally, he opens a door, and this earthquake happens, and these shackles fall down, and the prison doors open, and everybody gets to come out. And really, nobody else could have done that. Maybe they could have opened the prison door, but nobody could start an earthquake. No one could make shackles fall off. And nobody could have stopped the earthquake once it started or stopped the chains from coming off. Because when God opens a door, gives us an opportunity, no man, none of us can ever shut that door. Now, we do have the choice, though. We can choose to walk through that open door and do what God is asking us to do, or we can choose not to do that. But either way, no man can shut that door. Now, Paul and Silas, they knew that Jesus was giving them this open door, and they knew what to do because they were close to Jesus. And they walked through that door, and because of that, that guard, prison guard, and his family were saved. Because they walked through that door and God gave them an opportunity. And you know what? God's going to give you a whole bunch of opportunities and open doors through your entire life. And we have to be close to Jesus. How do you be close to Jesus? You pray a lot. We do it here in church. We worship him and sing. Yep, we'll be in heaven. We'll be really close to him then. But on earth, we could be in church with other Christians, like you guys are all together. And the closer we stay to him, the more we'll be able to see when he opens those doors, and we'll know exactly what he wants us to do. So stay close and pray, and always keep watch, because you're going to have a whole bunch of open doors coming your way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for every one of these children's lives, Lord, and we are just so excited to be able to witness all the open doors you are going to open for them. So, Lord, I ask that you would keep that desire to stay close and anchored to you all the days of their lives, that you would give them wisdom and that they would hear your voice and know where you lead them all the days of their lives. We speak blessings upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
The founder of USA Open Doors,
Brother Andrew, way back, he was called God's smuggler. He smuggled Bibles into closed countries to the underground church so that the distribution of God's word would bring many to faith. And he had a prayer that he would always pray. He said, "Lord Jesus, you can open eyes, but I know that you can close eyes too. As I cross this border and these guards just make sure their eyes are closed, that they don't see what's in my luggage." And it worked most of the time. Well, ODUSA, or OpenDoorsUSA.org, it's a missionary, a group of missionaries and ministers that obviously spread Bibles all around the world, mainly to persecuted countries, the worst oppressed closed countries. And there's 50 on the world watch list where our churches are in Asia Minor or modern day Turkey. That's number 50 on the list, or it's among the 50. I forget which one. Doesn't matter. But they've got a very high persecution rate right now, as it was in the first century when this letter to Philadelphia and the other six letters were written. And we know that God is the only one that opens doors. You know, the prison doors and chains came off Paul and Silas. He's the only one who can open a door. You and I cannot open a spiritual door at all. We realize that? So why do we try? We try to change people, change their minds. Only God can do that. He can open hearts. But God is the one that opens doors. But another truth is God continually shows favor to his faithful church, to the faithful ones. Those who follow God's word and follow his ways in the face of evil and adversity and persecution, even times of great deception. And along with that, times of great deception, God is the one who reveals truth. All will be revealed. Even ahead of time to its prophets, his prophets, things are being revealed right now that we won't believe in the days ahead. Just wait and watch. But the third truth, and I'm going to go into these, the Lord also promises to protect or preserve his church. A promise of stability, of permanence, you know, those being those pillars in the temple marked. I mean, that's permanence. You know, for all who bear the name of the Lord, those who reflect his character, there's preservation for the church of Jesus Christ. So Philadelphia, our sixth church, they received a commendation, the Lord's approval. "Hey, you're doing well. I know your works. I know your deeds. You're doing a great job." There's no calling for repentance, although all the letters are to all the churches, so there's always a call for repentance. But, "Hey, you're doing well. You are remaining steadfast amidst the discouragement, the persecution." And the church there understood that it's the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of Jesus Christ, the power of his word going out that equips, that helps them stand for truth and endure in a culture that is opposed to God. And we're in one of those now. It's going to get worse and worse, folks. Opposition to God and his truth. But they were Christ-like there in Philly. Let's call them Philly. That's who they really are. Distinct from the world, even to the point of death. Never wavering in love and faithfulness. Crossing those thresholds, those open doors that God gives, and only God gives, only Jesus can open the doors. They would cross those thresholds together, facing even death. So these three truths, if you didn't get them already, the willing church is given open doors. Are we willing? The faithful church will be shown favor from God. And the enduring church will experience preservation. Even during a worldwide time of testing. Are we in one of those now? Maybe so. All right, open doors. They represent mission, evangelism, opportunity. Someone shouted it out. Way to go. It's an opportunity. We think of Jesus and his disciples and just the incredible story, you know, to be like Jesus, to minister like Jesus. Well, we can. And even into the early church, the book of Acts, when you study Acts and you read the stories like today, Paul and Silas, boy, the word just comes alive. There's a fire that kind of burns within us when you hear those stories. And Paul, you know, he persecuted the church. He was dragging Christians and hurting them. And all of a sudden God said, we're going to open the door of your heart. And he became Paul at that point and came to faith and a great missionary. You know, the open door is about Christ's mission. It's about evangelism. It's about not quenching the fire of God's word. The world is going against God and his word and his truth, but no, it's the highest standard we have. The authority of the Bible is way up here. It's the highest authority. We give it high authority. We're Bible-centered, Christ-centered. But not quenching the fire, spreading it. Jeremiah, speaking of spreading God's word, what does he say in Jeremiah 28 and 9? He said that God's word was like a fire shut up in his bones. He couldn't hold it in. You feel that? You feel that fire? I want to feel that fire. In the early church and all throughout history, there is a constancy of the faithful ones. You know, God will open the church for his faithful church, open the doors for his faithful church. A constancy that their love for Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, it kind of burned within them in their worship, in their sharing the gospel, in their spreading the good news, speaking the truth. A fire that empowered them and made them constant in the faith. And they were given open doors. What are the open doors for us? Well, it'd be ministry. It'd be a lot of ministry expanding. It'd be a call on each of our lives. Even the youngest, we're all children here, right? We're all, the youngest to the oldest. You know, those who have ears to hear this morning, God is calling you to something so profound. You have no power to accomplish it, but God will give you the power greater than any television show or television character, and I don't know all those names, but you know what I'm talking about. More power. And that's not what it's about, but it's about accomplishing God's will. But community development. And as with the early church, as the days get darker, this modern day church will get more and more like the early church when there are healings, there's deliverance, there's restoration, there's reconciliation. We need to welcome that and be willing to step through that door. And again, we have little power, but God multiplies it. And Jesus said this in verse 8, I have placed an open door before you because you have kept my word. You have not denied my name. Others are denying my name. And that's modern time now, right, as well. You have kept my word. You have not denied my name. And how would they have denied his name? They would have bowed down to the emperor. And that's basically worshiping Satan when you bow down to anything other than God. The evil one is behind every dictator, communist leader, every agenda that's against God, everyone that's calling us to bow down to them. All who promote an anti-God, anti-church, anti-truth agenda. So we are to keep God's word. Never deny the name of the Lord. How about so many that fell for the deception of the current rioters and looters, anarchists, claiming to be one thing and they were not? I mean, they're proudly Marxists. They're against the nuclear family. They're going to keep burning down cities. They'll start burning down churches. They're going to start burning Bibles. I guarantee it. That's the whole strategy of Marxism. It's all coming, unless it's stopped. But how about the millions of dollars? Professional athletes are just flooding this riding with money. Do they realize it? They don't realize it. It's going right to the destruction of America here. The biggest organizations. But no, we only bow down to God. You know, we only bow down to God. We will not revere anyone else. The one, we bow down to God who is a consuming fire. Not bowing down to ones who are creating fires and raising havoc and destroying things, destroying lives. Did you hear about the San Francisco Giants pitcher, Sam Coonrod? It was opening day of the baseball season, just like a month into the pandemic. And this rioting group that was big names, you know, in the public, they wanted all the athletes to bow down for their cause, to bend a knee. And he was very aware. He was not ignorant of truth. He said, "No, I know this group, they're openly Marxists. I will not bow down to their God." He said, "I'm a Christian." Oh, did he catch heat for that? But I say, praise God. He did not deny God's word or deny the Lord's name. God will show him favor. He's actually 5-1 this year. I don't know if that really matters. But good for him. We need more young people to stand up and to know truth and to stand for truth. But the second truth, God shows his favor, as he will to Sam and those. You guys are so loyal and faithful. Just keep it going. God will open doors, and God will show his favor. In verse 9 of chapter 3, Jesus tells them that the Jewish resistance basically will collapse. And those who are opposed to God will come to you. They will bow down before you and humble themselves, open their hearts and say, "Boy, we can see how God loves you." Only God can do that. Open hearts and show favor. Those who are being persecuted will actually be blessed by the influx of people into the church. What would that be like in America? You know, see so many, you know, we live more like our battle is flesh and blood. You know, there's names with faces. No. The battle now, it's not flesh and blood. It's in the spiritual realm. It is powerful in that realm, but Jesus sits enthroned above it. And you know what he says to the church? He says, "You are seated with me above all those powers. I have given you authority." But always in the face of persecution, injustice, evil, and deception, God opens the hearts of unbelievers. His timing is connected to how the faithful, how we live. How we live connects to how God is going to open up hearts and lives and opportunities and to show his favor. Those who remain faithful to love and speak boldly for him, who speak his truth, who lift up his name, who cross those thresholds, he will give favor. All throughout the Bible, his favor was upon, you know, so many that whatever they did, it touched to gold. Kids, whatever you do, you know, God wants to make it gold. Not literally gold that you can be a millionaire, but God bless you, maybe you will. But everything you do in the hands of God will go well. He'll turn it to gold. There was an open doors missionary named John. He flew into the Middle East and drove over across the border to another country. He's bringing Bibles, just like the Bible smuggler. He wants to get God's word out there. He's individually wrapped 50 of them, and he's put them in his luggage. And he prays that prayer of Brother Andrew and says, "Oh Lord, close the eyes of the guards. Don't let them see what I have in my suitcase. It's your word. You want it out, don't you?" And you'd think that God every time would just close the eyes, right? But he got arrested, thrown in jail, interrogated all night long. They wanted to say, "We're bringing you to the airport," but then they interrogated him all night. "Who are these Bibles for?" "They're for my host families," you know, on and on and on. He's partially, you know, he's being truthful. But it's the Holy Word of God, the Christian's book, high persecution. So he's facing serious jail time, maybe worse. Minimally, he's going to be deported. So a guard, an officer comes back to him. He says, "John, you're a little different than the other religious types that I've met." It's like, wow. John's probably thinking, "Hey, here's my opening. So tell me about your family. What's going on?" "Oh, his father was terminally ill. Can I pray for your father?" "Yeah." And he prays for him. And the officer says, "Hey, you want your Bibles back? You want to get out of here?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Well, I have to bring you to the airport, but I'll get you the Bibles." He gives them a Bible. He shares his faith in Christ with them. He shares his love. He's so compelled to spread God's word and to get these Bibles out and to share the story, the love of Jesus, that it just compels him. It's that fire in his bones. And God's favor was on John. He got to the airport with the Bibles. But God's favor was on the officer too. He accepted the Lord as his Savior. Sometimes when it seems like a door is shut, another door opens and God's favor is all over it. And we've already had the story of Paul and Silas, and that's a powerful one. Read about it. Read on. Read before it. Read after it. But the third truth is the Lord preserves his own. He preserves his own. You and I are going to live forever. In a different form, but we're going to live forever, right? By faith. But verse 10, Jesus tells the church, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, you have endured patiently. Because you've kept that word, you've endured patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, the hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test all who dwell on this earth. Has there ever been something that's come upon the whole world at a certain hour? We're in it now. But the scholars, the scholars point this verse and chapter to the great tribulation at the end of the age. That will be the great shaking. But there's other lesser shakings that happen, and we're certainly in one of those shakings, a time of testing now. But you can read about the end of all time and the rest of Revelation, the seven seals and seven trumpets and seven bowls. Kids, can you describe all seven of those? There's seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. Check it out. But the truth is closest to preservation over protect. Does the Lord promise to protect us from suffering, from hardship? We know, no. We're all going to go through stuff. But I will preserve you through it. There's no water that can be high enough. There's no fire that can be hot enough. Or no challenge or no epidemic that I will not bring you through. I will preserve you through fire. His promise is permanent. Like pillars in a temple. Victory and vindication. The end of Revelation, we know there is victory and vindication. But the letters of the seven churches also have implications for every generation throughout history, right? In our current state of affairs, there's an endemic, if you will, of key leaders throughout the world power grabbing for money and this and that, and organizations, and everybody's on the evil one's agenda, you know, trying to bank on, you know, hey, I can make some money on this. It's just ridiculous. It's so obvious. There's so much going on. But so many are going along with, you know, the perfect evil strategy to bring people down. People are just following right along like ducks behind them. You know, it's just whack, 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 you know, just going right behind them. Following right along and expecting full compliance. We'll leave it at that for now. But certainly this is a time of testing. You know, we're 5.5 months in. It's like, oh, man. But what the enemy wants for destruction, God will and is turning it to good. So we need to cross that threshold through that open door that God gives us, the opportunity. Maybe it's a new opportunity. Maybe there's new little missionaries right here and older missionaries, evangelists. It's God's opportunity for us. God will preserve and God will keep you. We need to be discerning. We need to be prayerful. And definitely make sure you go out and vote. 30 million Christians did not vote in the last election. 30 million. You know, what's God's agenda? I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm independent. And I know where I'm voting. But we need righteousness and morality and life and justice for Israel. And you can find that out pretty clearly. But definitely vote. And we need to put on our identity in Christ, to lean into Him. the mighty name of Jesus and pray in the authority that He has given to His church. We have His powerful word, the sword of the Spirit. That's what we can bank on. So how are you responding in this time of testing? How am I responding? How are we all responding? Brother Glenn was very honest, saying, man, I've had a week. We appreciate the honesty. That really set us up for worship. That really did. Maybe we've all had a week like that. But are you more irritated or more loving? Well, a little of each, right? Feeling put upon or humble? Faithless? Never. But how are we measuring up? You know, the Lord knows. He knows when we're successful, when we fall. He knows. He cares for us. He loves us. He says, there's the door. Go through it together. I believe in you. But the Lord's strategy, the bottom line for preservation that Philadelphia remained true to is this, that they persevered patiently. They endured patiently. That's the patience of Job. Does anybody have the patience of Job? You know what that actually means? It means patient and uncomplaining. Uh-oh. I'm in trouble already today. No, patient yet uncomplaining. But it means peace-loving, long-suffering, overflowing with love and joy and peace. Yes, I love to overflow all the time like a fountain. Well, we got to ask, you know? God's timing. We got to ask and slow down. Some, even in a pandemic, are working extra hours like never before. Got to slow down. Slow down. Observe that Sabbath. No compromise, keeping God's word and never denying the name, the Lordship of Christ. If we stand strong in this, this is an open door that's set before us. For hearing God's call, I already shared that with the kids or about the kids, an open door for prayer and ministry. God has allowed this time of testing for the church. Heard words like reset, time to refocus. There's a new door. It's a new day. We're a new people in Christ. But to minister where God directs us. Come through these doors into the sanctuary Tuesday nights, 6:30 to pray. It's time to battle and to claim what we have in Christ. We're not praying as an angry mob. We're just praying in faith. And boldness for you, for the world, for the church, for God to prevail. But we are to bear with one another, love one another, uphold truth, striving together as one in victory, always thankful to God. And I'll finish with this. How many are familiar with Keith Green and his music from way back in the 70s? And not well into the 80s because he died very young. Just Janie? There was only one at the early service too. I loved his music even after he was already dead. I mean, I didn't hear about it. I didn't know about it. But that No Compromise is his second album. And on the cover is a picture from Esther. Her uncle Mordecai was there standing on the road. And Haman, you know, the henchman for King Ahab and Jezebel, and he put in orders that everybody would bow down to even Haman, and Mordecai just standing on the side of the road, just looking at him, saying, hey, I'm not bowing down to you. He just went right by. So Haman wanted to take out Mordecai. But we know that it all blew back on Haman, because our God is a mighty God. He opens doors that no one can shut. And shuts doors that no one can open. But Keith Green, he's reminds me, he's one of my favorite Christian artists. And some of the music I listened to a little bit just preparing for this. Sermon title, No Compromise. But he died in 1982 at the age of 28. He had a 2- and 3-year-old, son and daughter on the plane with him. Like 4 or 5 kids. 9 others in a plane crash. And his song, Make My Life a Prayer to You, is a testimony of his shortened life. Just a few lines from it. It says, make my life a prayer to you. I want to do what you want me to do. No empty words, no white lies, no token prayers, no compromise. A few other lines. I want to shine the light you gave. You know, well, I want to thank you now for being patient with me. It's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I love that. And kind of an unbelievable, like, fourth verse here. I want to die. Well, you did. I want to die and let you give your life to me so I might live and share the hope you gave me, the love that set me free. Oh, you got to hear that song, Make My Life a Prayer to You. As we close, Jesus is the one who holds the key to open doors, to show favor, to offer preservation. We need to step through the door in faith today, no compromise. The Lord is with you. The Lord's favor be upon you and bless you and preserve you. Amen. Let us respond with song, Alive But God. Lord, as we bring our offerings, or we've already brought them, we just are reminded that we are your stewards, Lord. We pray for that fire and your spirit just to be stewards of what you've given us along with our possessions. Our times are in your hands, Lord. Our life is in your hands. This church is in your hands. And we pray that you continue to deliver and break any chains by the power in your name in the days ahead. But thank you, Lord. We give you these gifts now as we sing our final song. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord be with you and bless you today as you go out. Bless you and yours. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.